The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for April is a collection of more than 600 hand-drawn Christian symbols by artist and author Edward Riojas. It's titled A Complete Guide to Christian Symbols. This new resource is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or learn more about A Complete Guide to Christian Symbols at IssuesETC.org. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month, A Complete Guide to Christian Symbols.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick.
Perhaps the most remarkable thing about Jesus calling the tax collector Matthew to be one of his disciples is not that he called a tax collector, because Jesus called sinners across the board. Although tax collectors were, of course, considered greater sinners than others, maybe the most remarkable thing is that when he said, "Follow me," Matthew did. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson on Jesus calling Matthew in Matthew chapter 9, Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly with his Sunday school teachers to prepare them for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
What was a tax collector in the New Testament?
In the New Testament, the Romans had a very interesting procedure. They would conquer a nation, and then they would attempt to use the leaders or people in that nation to do their work. They would pay them, they would help them out, this kind of thing. And one of the areas in which the Romans used Jews was to collect taxes. Now, this really made the people of Israel angry. It was shocking behavior to have tax collectors eating with you, because when you ate with someone, you were almost considering them your equal. Jesus was unlike any other Jewish rabbi. Jesus ate and sat with them, not because the tax collectors were worthy, but because he is merciful and he wants sinners included in his kingdom. And so this is what this event is about, the calling of another disciple to follow Jesus.
Why did Jesus approach Matthew?
He approached Matthew because Matthew was to be an apostle to Jesus. In fact, as we know, the first book of the New Testament is written by the apostle Matthew. So Jesus was walking by and saw Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me."
What does that mean?
I think that that is the most important wording of this whole lesson, because as soon as he says that, Matthew rose and followed him. Now stop and think about that for a moment. Matthew didn't think that much of Jesus, and yet when Jesus gave that command, "Follow me," a number of the disciples would just get up, leave their place of work, and follow him. In fact, some of the disciples were fishermen, and they left their father with other fishermen in his boat to help him out, and they followed Jesus. This, I think, is the most important item that occurs here, that when Jesus says, "Follow me," he actually is not just giving a command to follow Jesus, he is giving them the ability to stand up leave their place of work, and follow him, which really seems ridiculous. Now, this has got to get across to the Sunday school children that Jesus also said to them, follow me. But when did he say that to many of the children and many Christians? He said that at their baptism. I baptize you into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, which means they now become a member of the family of God. Baptism is a call, not that we obey it and we're saved, but that God, in the person of Jesus Christ, gives us the ability to leave what we are doing and follow him. For Christians, that leads us into a life of sanctification, where we begin to obey God's commandments. And in that way, we are following Jesus. For we are not any more worthy to become a member of the family of God than were the tax collectors. All of us sin and fall short of the glory of God. So when Jesus calls us, that means he elects us. And from the Bible, that occurred before the foundation of the world. Jesus knew whom he would elect, and he calls us. The children in the Sunday school class have been called by Jesus, and they have been called because Jesus wants them to follow his way in their succeeding life.
Who were the sinners in this account?
The sinners were actually not those that Jesus was just eating with, because tax collectors were sinners. But it says in verse 10, sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples, which meant they were eating with them. But the next verse really shows the sin that is occurring. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Because for them, a sinner was an individual who did bad things according to the Pharisees, like collecting taxes for the Romans, or being a prostitute, or other such items. And Jesus would eat and speak with them. And that was the question that the Pharisees were asking the disciples, which shows that the real sin that was occurring here was not Jesus eating with the tax collectors, not the tax collectors, because they were not sinning by eating with Jesus. The real sin were the Pharisees, because they began to reprimand the disciples for Jesus eating with what they considered to be tax collectors who were sinners.
Why were the tax collectors and sinners coming to Jesus?
They were coming to Jesus because of what he was saying. This is very important to understand, that you would think that the tax collectors would have put Jesus in a category where he would not like them, that he would be like other Jews. But Jesus was different. He loved these people. He was merciful to them. And he included them in his kingdom. Those words were good news to tax collectors. Because, of course, they felt very guilty doing the work of the Romans. But they didn't know what to do except collect taxes. So Jesus came, and you know what his message was. It says he was merciful, which means he did not hold them to an account of their sins. He forgave their sins. That was really good news. So it wasn't only in the fact that Jesus said, "Follow me," but also in the words of his sermons, his Bible messages. Remember, the Sermon on the Mount was well received by the people, because they were hearing things that had authority. And Jesus was saying things differently than what the rabbis said. They would simply repeat the words of other rabbis. But Jesus was saying new things about the forgiveness of sins, the kingdom of God, and heaven for even tax collectors.
So what analogy does Jesus use when he's answering the Pharisees who object to him eating with tax collectors and sinners?
Yes, this is a very good question, because an analogy means that you describe something on the basis with which someone is familiar. A lot of times Jesus uses farm analogies. Remember the parable of the lost sheep. The farmer goes out, finds the lost sheep, puts it on his shoulders, and carries it home. The sheep does nothing to get found, does nothing to get home. All of it is the work of Jesus Christ. Now, in this particular situation, the extended metaphor Jesus uses is that of a doctor, of a physician. He says, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." And then he applies that extended metaphor. Verse 13, "Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." So Jesus is explaining why he's eating with the tax collectors, because that's his mission. And it's the mission for the Sunday school children, that he came and he called them to follow him in the waters of baptism. And as they grow older, the Sunday school material, Enduring Faith, talks about that they also will follow him in receiving the Lord's Supper. Probably one of the best verses in the Bible to explain the calling of Matthew and why he followed Jesus immediately is John 10, verse 27, where it says, "Our good shepherd knows us and guides us and leads us to follow his voice." The Sunday school material helps the students to understand the difference between a leader and a follower. Jesus is the leader. We are his followers. What is the most important leadership job you can think of? Even in those jobs, have someone more important than to follow Jesus. So, even if we become leaders of people in the world, as Christians, we still follow Jesus in all that we do by the power of the Holy Spirit given to us in our baptism. Jesus is the very best leader over all creation, including us.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We are teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jesus calling Matthew. Jesus will quote a passage, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice." We'll find out what he's quoting next. What does it mean to inwardly digest God's Word? Find out in Pastor Will Wheaton's column in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery tells his story of finding confessional Lutheranism to be the most scripturally faithful theology. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Hello, this is Roy Askins, editor of the Lutheran Witness. One of our goals is to help you, as I say all the time, interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective, and that includes interpreting our contemporary culture and the major writings that have informed it. If you haven't already, you need to check out the Lutheran Witness website and see our series on literary reflections, where we have commented on works such as Huckleberry Finn, To Kill a Mockingbird, the writings of Jane Austen, and more. Visit witness.lcms.org/series to read the whole thing. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Nestled near the spectacular Santa Catalina Mountains in sunny Tucson, Arizona, Catalina Lutheran Church is home to confessional law and gospel preaching and Bible teaching. Join those whom God calls and gathers to receive his gifts for his divine service to us Sundays and Wednesdays and Bible studies most days of the week. Find us on the web at catalinalutheran.org. catalinalutheran.org.
They've met with the pastor week after week. He's taught them our precepts and Christ Jesus to seek. He shared the law of our God, which we strive to keep, the prayers, the creeds, and the sacraments deep. Now these young saints are right to partake in Christ's body and blood, all for his sake. A gift you are seeking to commemorate this? Ad Crucem has just what you won't want to miss. We've got icons, art, ornaments, jewelry, and more, greeting cards, crucifixes, posters, gifts galore. Your catechized friend will love what you give and treasure the gift all the days that they live.
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical, confessional Christianity and Lutheranism and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson, Jesus Calling Matthew, in Matthew chapter 9. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, Jesus says, "I desire mercy and not sacrifice." What passage is he quoting?
Well, he was quoting a number of passages, but probably the most important passage was in Luke 9, 23 and 24, and John 8, 12. When we follow Jesus, we give up ourselves for Him. Through faith, we gain eternal life. In Galatians 5, 13, Jesus calls us to serve one another in love. That is how we follow Jesus and His example. So there are many passages that talk about being merciful as Jesus was. And in Ephesians, it talks about that we are not saved by our works so that we can boast that we saved ourselves. We're saved instead by the works of Jesus Christ, who died so that we can now follow Him, because it is by His power that we follow Him, out of love for Him, because of what He did for us. We do not get to heaven because we first loved Him, and therefore He rewards us by loving us. No, it's the very opposite than the way the world thinks. First, God loves us, and He did that by having Jesus die on the cross. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." That's the message of Jesus. That's the message to the people. And John 12:26 says, "If anyone serves me, he must follow me." And that's why we love Jesus so much, because He served us first by dying for our sins. And therefore, we follow Him.
Jesus said, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Does that mean that there really are righteous people?
No, in the sense that the righteous in Jesus' mind are those who believe in Him and have become saints, holy people, part of the family of God. And therefore, there's not a reason to call a righteous person who has been baptized or come to faith in hearing the word of God. They already have been called. There's not a second time they need to be called. Baptism was enough. But sinners in the mind of Jesus are those who have not been cleansed from their unrighteousness. And that's what He is about. in calling the unrighteous to him. And he does that through the sacraments of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and his wonderful, gracious, redeeming word.
Who are the tax collectors and sinners today?
Today, all of us are, to some degree, tax collectors and sinners, because we all fall short of the glory of God. But those who have received faith from the Holy Spirit are now considered as righteous in the sight of God and are no longer considered as sinners. Their sin has been taken away, and it has been placed on Jesus when he was on the cross, who paid for our sinful condition as he was our substitute in being left alone by the Father to pay for our sins and bring us into a right relationship with God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ.
Where do the Sunday school children gather around Jesus today?
Today they're gathered around Jesus in the Sunday school classroom. Now they'll say, well, Jesus isn't there. But you see, Jesus is wherever his word is. So when parents teach their children Luther's Small Catechism, that's the word of Jesus. And Jesus is present as his word is spoken by parents. Jesus is present when his word is spoken by Sunday school teachers. Jesus is present when the Sunday school children read the Bible at times at home or have Bible study with their parents. That's how the presence of Jesus takes place, by hearing the word of God, as the Mount of Transfiguration reminds us, God the Father said, listen to him. And to hear Jesus means that we are called by Jesus, because we won't listen to him unless we have the power given by the Holy Spirit to follow Jesus, as Jesus said to Matthew, the tax collector.
Finally, what's the law and gospel of this lesson?
The law is that a lot of times we want to follow our own ideas. It's called sin. Every time we follow what we want to do rather than what God wants us to do, that is living under the law. But the gospel is that Jesus is truly our friend. He is faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, so that you have been brought into the family of God, because Jesus said, follow me in the baptismal sacrament, and the Holy Spirit gave you the faith to follow Jesus in your works of sanctification.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Learn more about the Sunday school curriculum Enduring Faith at cph.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Tom, thank you.
and thank you.
Up next, we will replay an interview with Dr. Denny Burke of Boyce College on Rick Warren, female pastors, and the Southern Baptist Convention. Your link to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.